times in the scriptures that the words, "Do not be afraid," are found. Fear is paralyzing. Fear is destructive. Fear can keep a person from any kind of activity or movement, whether physical or spiritual. Fear freezes the human soul. And those who are fearful are also those who are suspicious, those who are not trusting. Those who are fearful are also those who find it very difficult to place confidence in another. Fear produces isolation. And I would suggest to you that one of the things that I have learned over 44 years of talking to people about their spiritual life is that it is incredibly difficult for a person who is gripped in fear to believe. Because in order to believe, a person has to trust. A person has to be willing to suspend one's own ability to understand and to accept the word of another. A person who's afraid, a person who's suspicious, finds that very difficult to do. The example that we're given is Peter. Jesus says to Peter, "Come." And Peter gets out of the boat and begins to walk across the water. And then Peter feels the strength of the wind, and he begins to sink. And he cries out for help. And Jesus grabs hold of Peter and said, "You of little faith, why did you not trust?" What he really said to Peter is, "Peter, what is there about me that you can't believe? What is there about me that you believe is dishonest? What is there about me that makes you feel that I am a liar and untrustworthy?" For that's what would motivate the unwillingness to accept his word. Now, what we know is that having the capacity to trust is very, very basic to the virtue of faith. And we know that there are things that can occur in a child's life that can be very damaging to the child's ability to trust. If adults lie to a child, if adults set a child up for failure, if adults allow a child to be in an embarrassing position, or a harmful position, or a dangerous position, and then abandon that child, that trauma can make it very difficult for that person ever to be a trusting individual again. And the tragedy from the spiritual point of view is it may be very, very difficult for that person to truly live a strong life of faith. Well, you and I are going to welcome a young child into the household of the faith through the sacrament of baptism this morning. And part of what we know is that in that sacrament, the Lord touches that child, touches Henry, and offers him the gift of faith. A wonderful writer, Flannery O'Connor, in reflecting on the story of Jesus touching the eyes of the blind man, reflected on faith. The story is simple. People bring a blind man to Jesus, and they ask Jesus to give him his sight. And Jesus doesn't want to make a spectacle out of this man, so he takes the man by the hand, and he leads him to the edge of town where it's just Jesus and the man alone. And then Jesus touches the man's eyes. And after he has touched the man's eyes, he says, "Can you see?" And the man says, "I can see, but not clearly. People look like stick figures. They look like trees to me." A second time, Jesus touches the man's eyes, and he says, "Now can you see?" And the man says, "I can see clearly, unambiguously. I can see without any shadows, any alteration." And Flannery O'Connor, in reflecting on that story, suggests that for each of us, the Lord touches our eyes twice in our lifetime. The first time is in the moment of baptism, when the Lord gives us the capacity to see in faith. Now, the sight we have in faith is limited. It's shadowy. It's not perfectly clear. You and I know that as adults living faith. It's not clear. The second time, Flannery O'Connor says, the Lord touches the eyes of each of us is in precisely the moment in which we close our eyes in physical death. And we open those eyes before the face of the living God, and everything is now clear. We see perfectly. There is no alteration or shadow. Well, that first touching gives us the great gift of faith. And the responsibility of parents and adults in the life of a child is to provide a way in which this child is always safe and can always trust. So never lie to your child. Never allow anyone to create a circumstance in which this child cannot feel trusting security. Because it is the foundation, the human foundation, for living a life of faith. Well, I'm going to invite all of you to join with me as we profess our faith, and then to welcome Henry into the household of the faith through the sacrament of baptism. And so I ask you, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, was raised to life on the third day, and is seated at the right hand of God? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? And is it your will that your child should be baptized in the faith we profess? Please, parents and godparents, please.